Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We meditate this day on these brief words of our Lord Jesus as he weeps over Jerusalem, saying, "If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace." In Jesus' name, dear baptized and redeemed of God. "If you had only known" is oftentimes expressed from our point of view, "if I had only known." If I had only known, for example, that if my father would have invested $100 in Minnesota Mining and Manufacturing Company, which many of you know as 3M, on the date of my birth, I would be quite a wealthy man today. If only you had known, sometimes is used by mankind, even God's people, as an expression of prayer in our life with God. "If you had only known, God, how difficult my mother really is. If you had only known, God, how much pain I have every day. If you had only known that I need to know that you really care about me. If you had only known how much good I could do if I had won the lottery." In today's epistle, the Apostle Paul addresses that question of why even God's people might wander down that path. St. Paul mentions in the epistle the spectacular gifts of the Spirit. It is hard not to wonder why these things are not happening and why you don't see more of them. If these spectacular things could only happen today, if only someone could do a miracle around here, if only someone could preach like Paul or Peter did. If only someone could miraculously speak in a foreign language. Not only that would liven things up and add a little pizzazz to the service, it would also attract all kinds of new members, would it not? Then the church building would be full again, and our problems, supposed or imagined, would disappear. Not only that, but wouldn't more people get to know about Jesus and come to believe in him? If only the Spirit could do more of these miraculous gifts. To this kind of thinking, our Lord Jesus speaks in the Gospel. "If you had known, even you, especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace." Today, dear friends, is your day. This is your day, the day that makes for your peace. And how will your Lord speak to you? How will he come to you? How will he give you his gifts? The problem that is presented here is not new to the generation of Jesus. Recall for a moment the story of Naaman. Naaman was not even a child of God. He was a Syrian and a powerful guy at that. And he thought that God should be more powerful and more spectacular than he. "He will surely come out to me and stand and wave his hand over the place when the Lord his God calls upon him, and wave his hand and heal my leprosy." Naaman expected quite a show. After all, God was powerful, so the man of God should act powerfully, that Elisha character. He should act with great fanfare and waving of hands and loud and long prayers, with action that got everyone's attention, so that he knew that God was doing something. Naaman was visited in the promise of God's healing in and with the water of the Jordan River. There, in that, at least in Naaman's mind, unspectacular place, God visited Naaman and healed him. Your Lord God visits his people in the same way he visited Naaman. God is in and with the water of your baptism, that water that was splashed upon you and in which you receive forgiveness of sin and cleansing of your heart. For that water penetrates beyond the mere level of sickness to the level of death itself, and thereby rescues you from death and devil and sin, and gives eternal salvation to all who recognize Jesus' presence there. Or consider another Old Testament saint, Elijah, in the cave. And the Lord passed by Elijah 3 times with a strong wind and fire, and then a still small voice, as well as an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake, he was not in the fire, he was not in the wind that tore the mountains to pieces. But the still small voice visited Elijah to comfort and encourage him as he was pursued by Queen Jezebel. God came to Elijah not in great power and pomp, not in the show of force, not in the attention-grabbing power and noise, but in the seeming obscurity and helplessness of a still, small voice. Does not God visit you in the same way he visited Elijah? Not in spectacular, rock-breaking, earthquake-shattering, fire-consuming power, not the kind of thing that would certainly get your attention and then some, but would also destroy you, for then God's power would be turned against you. So instead, God visits you in the still small voice of his word made flesh. The word of God in the manger, who scares no one, but rather draws you to himself. The word of God on the cross, who is pitifully weak and wimpy, so it seems, yet draws all mankind to himself in his sacrificial death. The word of God you heard this morning, spoken by a poor, miserable sinner who happens to be a pastor, who then is the mouth of God, there is God's still small voice. The still small voice of God is not some inner voice that speaks to your mind or to your heart, but the quiet, calming, soothing outer voice of the Son of God saying, "Today you will be with me in paradise," or saying, "I forgive you all your sins." It is from a position of faithlessness, not faith, that our old nature seeks to understand how the Word of God could do what the Word of God says. How God can, with water and his word, cleanse, sanctify, and make holy sinners. How Jesus is present in bread and wine, giving his body and blood for the forgiveness of your sin, for life and salvation. Your Lord still visits his people in bread, which he promises is that same body that died on the cross. And in that word, which he says is really his same blood, which poured out on the ground for you, the forgiveness of your sins, and your old nature corrupted by Adam seeks to ask, "If only I could comprehend fully and understand, then it would be better." The point is this, dear friends. What you often expect from your God is a huge extravaganza, a spectacular event, entertainment of a lifetime, a show that outdoes the best shows in Las Vegas, some clear demonstration of God's power and might and strength. But I challenge you to be careful for what you ask. For our Lord Jesus weeps over Jerusalem because he knows that that day will soon come when Jerusalem, one of the largest cities in the world, was overrun so that not one stone was left laying upon another, and the blood in the streets literally put out the fires that were burning. There God visited his people in a spectacular way, with power and might and the judgment of Rome. but it was God's judgment. And this judgment came upon this people because they did not know or care to know or could not be bothered to know the time of God's visitation among them in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. All because in their day, they did not care to realize, did not recognize that Jesus the Christ was the one that made for their peace with God the Father. And that is why Jesus wept. And in that spectacular day of God's power and might and strength, we will see that again on that last great day. When with that power and with a strong voice and the sound of a trumpet, all the dead will be raised and the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements on the earth will melt away with fervent heat. Then God will visit his people in a way that will get their attention. It will not be a time of grace. It will be a time of judgment and condemnation of those who did not know or receive the time of their Lord's visitation in the waters of baptism, in the words of absolution, in the supper of his body and blood. When the Apostle Paul speaks of the gifts of the Spirit, he is not talking about God's visitation. Neither should you long for them or some outward sign. Oh God, just give me a sign and then everything will be better. Because that is not an expression of faith, but of unbelief. But you have received something better than the gift of healing, the working of miracles, the speaking in tongues. You have received the miracle of being called children of God. When you were enemies of God, God saw fit to call you his child. You have received the inheritance of heaven and have been made beneficiaries of everlasting life. You have received the right not only to sit and banquet with God, but also to be partakers of the divine nature as you feast on Christ's body and blood. What more then could you desire than what your Lord gives in baptism, in the speaking of his word of grace, and in his supper? What miracle or spectacular event can exceed those things, or does God's gracious and saving visitation in them bore you? If your Lord's gospel in word and sacrament bores you, then do not long for more titillating and exciting things. Instead, be called to repentance and receive the Holy Spirit as he now comes to you in the preaching and in the supper, and pray that that Spirit would warm your heart. Do not resist his working or the longing and desire for God's word that he plants in you and grows in you. Even though your old nature wants a different answer than the word, than what the word of God offers to you, God has not and will not abandon you. Even though Elijah wanted something different than God's still small voice, nevertheless, God still loved and cared for them. Listen to him as he tenderly invites you to know him. For today is the day among you of God's visitation in peace. Now your Lord and Savior visits you in the flesh. Through his body and blood, he incorporates you into himself. Now your salvation is nearer than when you first believed. In this way, there is no weeping in heaven or on earth over you, but rejoicing only. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.